Most people like to plan ahead for things. Some there are who procrastinate. They don't make plans. They just kind of take it as it comes. Well, this is not always safe, however, especially when it involves a person's eternal salvation. The Bible says, prepare to meet your God. Are you ready? Have you made adequate preparation? In Luke chapter 9, verse 62, we have the words of the Lord Jesus who said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Christ is making it clear here that it is extremely dangerous to make a profession of faith only to retrogress later and to turn back to the former ways of life. Now, this is what Peter is warning against regarding the false teachers who had knowledge of Christ and salvation, but who reverted to the old paths of unbelief and sin. He says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, for after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Now the question is, were these false teachers really saved? Well, it doesn't appear that they were. Peter says they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The scripture tells us they had only knowledge of the Lord. Knowledge about Christ and the way of salvation is not enough to save. On the other hand, a person cannot be saved without knowledge, according to Romans 10, verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We get knowledge through God's word. In fact, the Bible is the only dependable source of knowledge for salvation. When religious cults add a manual or a key as a supplement to the Bible, it's always safe to say that the scripture plus something else is unscriptural. Knowledge of Christ and the way of salvation obtained from the word is the means to faith and belief. Now, the false teachers of which Peter writes escaped the pollution of the world in the sense that they stood on the verge of deliverance. Had they responded to the knowledge which God gave them from the word, they could have been saved. Rather than receive Christ into their lives, they professed salvation and merely pretended to be Christians. Later, they rejected the truth altogether and turned back into sin. Now, you may wonder, is it not possible for a person to be saved and to go back into sin? Well, certainly it is. Who of us has not experienced this regrettable calamity at some time? One thing is certain, however. If a man or a woman is truly born of the Spirit, even though they may fall back into sin, they will not stay in sin. Peter tells us also that the false teachers were again entangled therein and overcome. Sin was their master, controlling their lives. There was no evidence of God's grace working in their hearts. The Lord not only saves a person when he comes to Christ, he transforms his life. In addition, he sustains and gives victory over sin. In 1 Samuel 2, verse 9, we are assured that God will keep the feet of his saints. The true believer in Christ can sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine! Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. Those Peter is writing about had a knowledge of Christ, but they did not possess Christ. It is possible to have a full mind, but an empty heart. An empty heart is worse than an empty purse. But is there no hope for an empty heart? Ah, yes. For the Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How can we know that what we are teaching about salvation as taught in the Bible is true? Are there not other ways of salvation being taught from the same Bible? Yes, there are, plenty of them. But I am convinced that there is a way that is right, that can stand all the tests. Not only can this way be found, but the finder can surely know that he has discovered the truth. Now, let me give you a few basic principles whereby we can ascertain this. First, understand thoroughly that you are not seeking a mere system of belief. You are looking for truth. Secondly, use the Bible for your authority. This is God's inspired word. What man has to say is of little value unless it can be traced to the Scriptures. So go to the Bible yourself and carefully search it. Thirdly, be sure that God will reveal truth to any earnest and seeking heart. He longs to reveal His word to those who want to know it. So be sure God is on your side if you are a seeker after truth. Fourthly, as you read and study the Bible, recognize it as God's holy word. Believe what it says. Accept it and heed it as though God were speaking to you. Fifthly, shun any individuals or groups that place more weight on books that explain the Bible than on the Bible itself. Now, if you're really sincere and before God you're honest in your desire to know the truth, I believe that if you follow these few simple rules, it will not be long before you will be a possessor of the truth rather than a searcher for truth. God says in Luke 11, verse 9, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Well, after one comes to the knowledge of the truth, what is the next step? Believe the truth. As we believe on Christ, we receive the Son of God as Savior and Lord. The tragedy of the false teachers of whom Peter speaks was this. After searching for the truth and finding it, they did not sincerely believe it. As the result, they were worse off than they had been before they knew the truth. To know the truth and to do nothing about it is probably the most sorrowful and regrettable experience anyone can have in life. I've heard people say on occasion, "Well, I'm too far gone. There's no hope for me to be saved." Well, let me tell you, one may be a hardened sinner, filled with lust and wickedness. His situation appears to be impossible. Well, for him it is, but not for God. Have you ever read about the wild man of Gadara in Luke the 8th chapter? No one could do anything with him. He was a constant menace and threat to the community. The people had given him up as hopeless. But when the Lord Jesus saw him, he healed him immediately. The people of the city heard the news. They couldn't believe it. So they came out to see for themselves, and they found the wild man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Jesus Christ knows your need better than you do yourself, for He created you. He understands your circumstances perfectly. He will handle all your problems if you will but place yourself in His care and really give Him a chance to prove Himself. But you must believe Him. You must receive Him as Savior and Lord. Are you ready to do it? Trust Him right now. Ask Christ to come into your life and live through you, and He certainly will. Live in the power of the Holy Spirit day by day and be a testimony for God. Father, I pray that you'll open many hearts to the gospel of Jesus, that many will believe on Christ today and be saved, eternally saved, and have the assurance that when they die, they'll go to be with Him. I pray this in His blessed name. Amen.